Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda.
Transcendentally situated
in the innermost core of your heart, resplendent with the radiance of molten gold. He has descended in the age of Kali by his causeless mercy to bestow what no incarnation has ever offered before, the most elevated mellow of devotional service, the mellow of conjugal love. Now, so this is, chapter 3, verse 4, although actually it is the fourth verse in the first chapter. That's where it comes from, so to speak. At the beginning of the first chapter, there's a sequence of verses which are establishing, first of all, the Panchatattva, then who is Lord Chaitanya in a number of verses, then who is Lord Nityananda also in a number of verses, who is Advaita Acharya in, I think, one verse, one or two perhaps, and like this. And these are really the foundational verses for the whole book. So now, coming to this third chapter of Adilila, now we're really going to start going into why Lord Chaitanya appeared and why he appeared as he did and how he appeared, all these types of a little bit deeper subjects. So this verse then is actually the fourth verse, and it is really helping us to enter, at least to begin, to enter into the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance. Sometimes, of course, we use the terms internal and external just in regards to ourselves and our own efforts in Krishna consciousness, and sometimes this word external is used in a slightly negative way. It is just external, it's just sort of something on the surface and it doesn't really have depth to it. Whereas internal is often in those terms thought to be more essential and more important. So, but now, external in this context, well, there isn't the element, an element of that is there, but at the same time, it's not just like, it's all very, not really very consequential. It's extremely deep. The external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance are extremely deep. And they are external in the sense that they are dealing with different reasons which stimulated him to appear, which are related to other people, or even related to us, actually, the conditioned souls. Yeah. So that's very important for us. If it was just a matter of the internal, just very personal reasons, which we'll also look at, then, there may not really be much, if any, connection with us, and we remain stuck in the material world. So the point here is the external reasons for Lord Chaitanya's appearance is indicating in relation to other people, and not just his personal, his own interests, what he was feeling, he wanted to explore himself, for himself, for his own understanding and his own experience. So, external means like that. Reasons that he appeared, which are connected with the conditioned souls in this material world who are external to him in that sense. So, Let's just read on a little bit further. He says that, now we're looking at, I think in the chapter 3, verse 19, Yukadharma Kurvartayu Nama Sankirtana Charibhava Bhakti Diya Nachamo Bhuvana. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. I shall make the whole world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. So we're just taking a few verses from here and there. But this particular verse is very important. You know, we just read in that the previous verse, verse 4, that it's a prayer to Lord Chaitanya. Please appear. May that Lord be situated in the innermost core of your heart. So what does that mean? What does it really mean? And how might he get there? Yes, that's important, isn't it? Perhaps he's not there right now. You know, you've got Paramatma there. He's overseeing you and seeing you get your karma. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, to become transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart, first of all, he's got to really get there. And you've got to know how to get him to get there. And then, when he is there, well, we'll read a verse about that in a minute or two. But here, this is a very important point. Lord Chaitanya says, and this is, in a sense, the main external reason, but there are two external reasons mentioned in this verse. First of all, I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age, Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. And then, second point, and very, very important, I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. So, Nam Sankirtan, that is the religion of the age. Even the verse itself refers to it as Yuga Dharma. Yuga Dharma, the prescribed religious process for any particular age. There are four: Satya Yuga, Treta Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and now we're in Kali Yuga. In each of those ages, there's a particular practice which is most effective at that time for those particular people who have those types of natures. Yes. So therefore we hear that Kritaya Dhyayato Vishnu, in the Krita Yuga or Satya Yuga, the golden age, the first age, then the process is Dhyayato Vishnu, silent meditation of Lord Vishnu. And then Tretaya Yajato Makai, that in Treta Yuga, the second age, then the process is Yajja or Yajna, the performance of fire sacrifice. And then in Dwapara Yuga, Dwaparamparacharyava, the process is serving the Lord in the deity form. And then Kalo Tad Harikirtanat, in the Kali Yuga, the process is Harikirtan, chanting the holy names of the Lord, or to be even a little bit more sort of particular about it, Hari Sankirtan, Nam Sankirtan. That's what this verse here that we just read a minute or two ago says. Yuga Dharma Pravartaimu Nama Sankirtana. There's a difference, a little difference, but it's an important difference between Nam Kirtan, Hari Kirtan, and Nam Sankirtan. There's a difference. And as the verse says, Yuga Dharma Pravartaimu Nama Sankirtan. Sankirtan. Kirtan, obviously, I think everyone here knows very well, means chanting the holy names of the Lord. We were just doing that. And yes, we do that so much. Devotees get together and chant, even you can do it yourself, on your own. One man kirtan. But now here we're talking about Nam Sankirtan. And Sang means together with others. It's particularly, specifically including others, but not just others as when we chant together in Kirtan on the Sunday program, for example. But Sankirtan really is particularly pointing towards chanting together with others who are not devotees or just the people in the broadest sense, just the people in general. This is Sankirtan. And that is actually the religious process for this age. Srimad Bhagavatam, that verse I quoted, Kritaya Dhyayato Vishnu, etc., pointing out the particular processes for the particular ages. That's the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Here is another one, and in fact it is arguably the best known about the process for the age of Kali as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varanam Tusha Krishnam Sando Pangastra Parshadam Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Su Maitasa. In the age of Kali, intelligent persons perform congregational chanting to worship the incarnation of Godhead who constantly sings the name of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself. He is accompanied by his associates, servants, weapons, and confidential companions. So let us just explore this particular point a little bit, because it really is important and is very relevant to all of us, because I think basically all of us here, we could say we're all practitioners. We're not just, you know, guests who just dropped in for a program. But I think, you know, looking around, I sort of know all of you pretty much. You're practitioners. Of course, different practitioners are on different levels. So, okay, that's another point. But you are practicing to one degree or another, regularly trying to apply the process of Krishna consciousness in your life. Now, devotees, the good news, the very good, excellent, best, mostest, bestest news is that here we get the information for those who are practicing or want to practice what it means to do that. Yes, that is just such good news. And what does it mean to do that? Well, Yuga Dharma Pravartaimu Nama Sankirtan. Actually, this is the Yuga Dharma. Not just chanting the holy names, but more specifically, in a more pointed way, it really means chanting the holy names congregationally in a public environment with the public and not just us. You know, in ISKCON at the moment, even for the last several years or so, there has been a kirtan boom. Right, I think many of you are aware of that. It is just so many people and devotees and even a lot of relatively younger devotees getting into chanting together in the temples. So it's good, it's very nice, it's extremely nice. It is just wonderful, actually. But really, if you really want to pinpoint what is really the Yuga Dharma and what should be emphasized in the life of any practicing devotee, it's Nama Sankirtan. And in Chaitanya Charitamrita particularly, there are a number of verses which make that point. This is one. And another one, Kali Kalera Dharma, Krishna Nam Sankirtan, Krishna Shakti Vinanahi Tara Pravatan. There's another famous verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's the good news, that we can be clear and not sort of in any type of fog at all. What should I do and where should my focus be? But we, in order to really develop our Krishna consciousness to the maximum degree and as quickly as possible and to get to relish, just relish, the nectar which is there, it is oceanic. It is more than oceanic, it's actually unlimited. Then we should know that really the process is Nam Sankirtan, as the Bhagavatam says in that definitive verse, Yajyai Sankirtana Prayer. Yajantihi Sumetasa. So, you know, you could say the bad news is that eating prasadam after the Sunday feast is not the Yuga Dharma. If it was, wouldn't life just be interesting? And we would have to all join Weight Watchers, or we would be rejected by Weight Watchers. And the Yuga Dharma is not exactly coming to the Sunday program and being in the audience, which is all, it is just wonderful. Whatever you do, don't stop doing it. Neither is it even worshipping Radharana on the altar, although that's sort of the next most important thing, really, and it's also of extreme importance. But actually the process is Nam Sankirtan. In other words, the Hare Krishna movement is not, you know, you could say like a transcendental social club of nice, very nice people who get together quite regularly and just have nice time together and sometimes chant together, hear about Krishna together, and it's just wonderful. And at the end, take prasadam, which is usually wonderful, and you get the idea. We mustn't stop doing those things. We must increase these things, actually, quantitatively and and qualitatively, but actually the process is Nam Sankirtan. And if you are sitting there thinking, wait a minute, what is this man trying to do here? Is he trying to push me out of my comfort zone onto the streets amongst, you know, all the people where I'll stick out like a sore thumb? Is that what he's trying to do? And the answer to that question is yes. At least to some degree. And it's also a gentle push in that type of direction. You know, when I joined this movement, before I actually joined, when I was just visiting and attending some programs, I would come sometimes during the day to the temple in London. And you know what we did? We went out on Nam Sankirtan. That's what we did. That was the program. If you were not a pujari or a cook for the deities, there was only one program. There was no other program. It didn't exist. Straight after breakfast, usually little halava, a quarter of an orange, 9 chickpeas, and about half a cup of milk. After that, you were out on the street. And that's quite a street there, Oxford Street in London. And, you know, so like 9:30, well, usually we clean up the temple building, so maybe 10 o'clock, we'd be out down Oxford Street. It takes a while. It may even be an hour, it's long. And then when you reach the other end, what do? You come back. And when you've come back, what do? You go down again. And you just keep doing that till it's about 12:30 or so. Then you go back for lunch. And after lunch, you know, lunch is plus or minus 1. And after lunch, maybe 2:30 or something like that, what happens? Out on Oxford Street again. And down to the end. And back. And yeah, until at least 5 o'clock, at least. Or 5:30. Usually like 5:30. And that was the program. That was all there was. There was nothing else. So anyway, this is just when it comes to the external reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. This, there are 2 parts, but this is the one first part that he's giving the process for this age, which is Nam Sankirtan. So, you know, we should here in sunny Durban, we should, and I think we will actually, make efforts to develop our Nam Sankirtan program and encourage the devotees to get into it. You know, I know what it's like. You go out there and you're worried, will any of my relatives, my colleagues from work, just people I know, will they see me dressed like this, doing this kind of slightly extraordinary activity? How to keep beneath the radar. For a lady, you might think, you know, normally you might keep your sari around your shoulder and not over your head. But now you might think, I'll keep it right over my head. So they can't see me. I remember I was there going up and down Oxford Street. And on Oxford Street, you know, it's a small world. And on Oxford Street, there we are going up and down. And I saw someone who I had known before a bit. I met them as I was coming over from New Zealand. And I saw this person on Oxford Street as we went by. And the person took a couple of steps back and the mouth dropped open. And, you know, it was very early days for me and I felt, oh my God. But let's not try to worry about it too much. But it's an ocean of nectar. This is where you really find the nectar in Kali Yuga. You know, you're all practicing, as we said, and we recognize and appreciate that a lot. And I don't doubt at all that you're all experiencing a certain amount of nectar in whatever you're doing, in Krishna consciousness, chanting your rounds. If you do it nicely, it's nectar. Cleaning the temple, cooking for Krishna, and so on and so on. It's all nectar. But Krishna Naam Sankirtan is the nectar of the nectar. It is the cream of the cream. It really is. It's just the experience, just the sort of subjective experience that you have for yourself when you do it, at least if you get into it, and, you know, don't be on the mental platform and be worried about things. If you absorb yourself in it, the experience is higher. It's actually higher than anything else. It's higher than, you know, just take me for example. I'm a GBC. You know who I am. I tell you that the experience of being out on Naam Sankirtan is higher than being a GBC. If any of you have any aspirations, don't worry about it too much. It's a lot of trouble. I'll even tell you another thing. It is better than being a guru. It is better. It is better. Yeah. So, we just got to get into it. We've got to kind of got to just break through. Break through the initial barriers. So now, that's the first point. Then there's the second point, which is mentioned here also. I shall personally inaugurate the religion of the age Naam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the holy name. That's point one. Point two, through this, what he's saying effectively is, through this, I shall make the world dance in ecstasy, realizing the four mellows of loving devotional service. Now, we've all heard that we should go back to Godhead, and we all have an already existing, but at this point covered, relationship, personal relationship with Krishna. It's already there in the heart. And we should, through our Krishna consciousness development, we should go back to Godhead and re-enter that. These things we've heard countless times. Back to Godhead, back to Godhead, go back to Godhead means enter into one of those relationships. So I think every devotee has some aspiration like that. We would like to do that, we want to do that, and we're hoping to do that through our developing our Krishna consciousness. And yes, that's quite right. That's exactly it, actually. But now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to do that? Well, particularly Lord Chaitanya, or this is Lord Krishna himself speaking, actually. He's contemplating that I should appear as Lord Chaitanya and do these things and offer the people these things. So in other words, through Nam Sankirtan, Krishna is saying, not only will I make the whole world dance in ecstasy, but through Nam Sankirtan, people will realize their eternal relationships with Krishna in the different mellows or rasas as conjugal, parental, friendly, as a servant, or a mutual relationship. Ultimately, there are five, but four, beginning with servitude up to conjugal, four being emphasized here. So that's the good news. That's more of the good news. Just a deeper or clearer understanding of the good news. And of course, the bad news is that it's not going to happen to you if you don't do that. But you just make your service eating prasadam. It is a good service. It is just a fantastic service. Everyone loves it. We know it. Anyway, a little light-hearted, but actually it's true. So let us, particularly on this day, the appearance day of Lord Chaitanya, who is the father of the Sankirtan movement, let us contemplate these things, think about it, and think about ourselves in these terms. And, when your comfort zone becomes the street on Sankirtan, when that becomes your comfort zone, and when you're elsewhere, you're just, not really feeling quite right, when that becomes your comfort zone, you have made progress in Lord Chaitanya's movement, in practicing Krishna consciousness as given by Lord Chaitanya himself. Yeah. And it takes a bit. It means you've got to make a bit of progress. So, this is it. It's really wonderful. And it's wonderful to be clear on what is the situation. Let's continue a bit. Lord Krishna, it's actually Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami, right? In that verse 4, which we read at the right at the beginning. May the Supreme Lord, whose known as the son of Srimati Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your hearts. So he's going to go in. The Paramatma is already there. What is he doing for you? I'll be quite frank. He is not really doing a lot for you. Yeah. He is overseeing you and permitting you to do this and that, and seeing that you get your karma. But he's not really intervening so much and making special arrangements. The super soul is the super soul. And Lord Krishna discusses the super soul in Bhagavad Gita. Upadrasana mantacha bhantabhokta maheshvara paramaiteti chakyukto devisnen purushanara. Right. That the Supreme Lord is situated within your heart as the super soul. And what is he doing? Upadrasana. Drashta means to see. You may know someone called Drishti. They may not even know what their name means. But anyway, maybe they do. But it means seeing. This is now upa from a higher level. Like when we're in India, Bharat Mein, sometimes this is a bit of a joke. If we want a soft drink, a fizzy drink, we ask the person in the shop, give me a Sat Upa. If you understand that. Sat Upa. Sat, what does Sat mean? Don't you know? Ekdo Tincha. Punch chain. Sat Upa. A seven. And they go like you did. Like what? And you're talking about. Okay, that's by the way. Keep your awake. But this is now Upa Drashta. Upa Drashta. Drashta means seer. Seeing, but from a higher level. Overseeing. Yeah. Upadrasta Anumanta. Anumanta means permitting, allowing. Okay, let that happen. But no, something else may not happen. But okay, let that happen too. For those of you who are not Hindi, you know, my level of Hindi, I call it survival Hindi. I can sort of sort my way through situations in India if I have to, if there's no alternative. But Sat is Hindi for seven, and Upa means up. Okay? Paying temples in okay. So that, yeah, Krishna says, Upadrasta Anumanta Cha. Upadrasta, overseeing. Anumanta, permitting, allowing. But generally not really intervening and changing things. And unless things are meant to change in terms of your karma. And then, you know, some radical change in your life may occur because it's your karma. It may be good, it may be bad. So, but when the Lord, if the Lord starts to intervene and actually rearrange things for a devotee, not for ordinary people, he just oversees. He just permits, let them get their karma, that's all. But when one becomes a devotee, the Lord starts to intervene and make arrangements, special arrangements to help the devotee. Then, it's not exactly the function of the super soul, it is the function of Krishna, who is Bhakta Vatsala. The friend, the helper, the person who is very kind to his devotee. Now, Lord Chaitanya also does like this. In other words, Krishna enters the heart. Lord Chaitanya may enter the heart, your heart. If we engage in the Sankirtan Yajna, he will. He will enter your heart. It is like a blessing, a benediction from Srila Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami. May the Supreme Lord, the son of Sachidevi, be transcendentally situated in the innermost core of your heart. It is his blessing. So, if he or when he does that, what's he going to do? Let's just read a verse or two in that regard. This is very, it's also extremely important for us. Chaitanya Singhira Navadvipe Avatara Singha Griva Singha Virya Singhira Singhira Hankar. Thus, the lion-like Lord Chaitanya has appeared in Navadvipa, This is verse 30, by the way, if you're trying to follow. He has the shoulders of a lion, the powers of a lion, and the loud voice of a lion. And it's not just your regular lion, you know, from the zoo, lying there in the sun, eating stuff. This is a transcendental lion. This is a transcendental supreme lion, Lord Chaitanya. So then he continues, Sei Sinha Vasuk Jivir Hridaya Kandare Kalmasha Dvirada Nashe Yanhara Hankare. May that lion be seated in the core of the heart of every living being. Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. Did you get that? Thus, with his resounding roar, may he drive away one's elephantine vices. You know, we all have a few vices. We all have a few. Too many. Vices. Who can claim? Who would be so boldly foolish or foolishly bold to say, like one devotee told Prabhupada, Krishna Kanta Prabhupada, this Krishna consciousness is so nice. It is so wonderful. I have no more attraction for the opposite sex. Wonderful. And Prabhupada's response was not very good. Wonderful. Just see how effective it is. Prabhupada's response was, oh, something is wrong with you. Anyway, don't mind. My point is, who can say they have no vices? No, we have our share. And of course, if we apply ourselves, if we really apply ourselves and give it our best effort, then we see, very quickly, we see that those things, or some of those things, they do reduce. They definitely do. And I think, I imagine everyone sitting here today has had at least some experience of that, along with just making you happy. But if you really try and practice Krishna consciousness and really try and chant and do these things and focus, then I think all of you must have experienced that some of these mundane attractions to this and that, they do actually reduce. And sometimes they may go away and you may think, oh, it's gone. It's gone. You know, certain material desires, they're actually gone. But if then you start thinking that, hey, it's gone. I'm doing good. Look at me. I'm advancing in Krishna consciousness. Hurry up. If you start thinking like that, then you know what happens. Many of you may have also had the experience. Suddenly, that same material desire comes back. Ooh, Hare Krishna. It's an interesting... You know, life in Krishna consciousness is anything other than dull. There's always a bit of excitement going on, directly or indirectly, or in one way or another. So those vices are described here, elephantine. They're like elephants. They're not like little ants. And then you can squash it just like that. Not like mosquitoes, annoying little mosquitoes. You can just clap them out of existence. Or just squirt some doom at them. At 10 of them. No, they're like elephants. Elephants. They're big. They're powerful. And if you just don't watch out. And they're wild. Elephants are wild. They can become semi-domesticated, but they remain at heart wild animals. And wild animals can just destroy. But when that lion-like Lord Chaitanya becomes situated in the core of your heart, then by his roar, not by your strength in spiritual life, your renunciation, but by the mercy, the power of his roar, then even the elephants run away. Yeah. Okay, so that is now, we've talked about the external reasons. And we have still a few minutes, not a long time, another 10 minutes or so. Let us now just have a look, consider. It's a deeper subject, you can say. It's a more esoteric subject. And it's a subject which is really suitable, particularly for those who are practicing and not just for general distribution, like the chanting of the holy names is suitable for general distribution. One has to be a little more sensitive about it. These are, and it's described in chapter 4, the confidential reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Confidential in the sense they are, or internal, they are his reasons. Why he wanted to appear, to get something for himself, to experience something for himself that he was interested in, for himself. And other people, you know, it's not really, actually it's not even related to them. It's for him, his personal interest in appearing. And this is described also in those first verses, and one of them appears in that chapter 4. But here I'm going to read actually from chapter 1, and it's verse 5. And then I'll read verse 6 also from chapter 1. And again, the Sanskrit is a little complicated. Radha Krishna Pranaya Vikritya Kladani Shaktir Asmad Ekan Madhava Pibuvi Pura Deha Vedam Gatautam Chetan Yakyam Prakatam Aduna Tadwayam Chaikyam Atam Radha Bhava Duti Subhanitam Naomi Krishna Swarupam. The loving affairs of Sri Radha and Krishna are transcendental manifestations of the Lord's internal pleasure-giving potency. Although Radha and Krishna are one in their identity, they separated themselves eternally. Now, these two transcendental identities have again united in the form of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I bow down to him who has manifested himself with the sentiment and complexion of Srimati Radharani, although he is Krishna himself. This is very deep. Who is Lord Chaitanya? Chaitanya Bhagavat says, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahe Anya. Lord Krishna Chaitanya, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Nahe Anya. He is none other then the combined form of Radha and Krishna. Yes. So they are one. We've mentioned before on a few occasions, some of you may have heard, that Srila Prabhupada, at the beginning of one class, he raised sort of like a very unusual question. He asked the devotees, and they're practicing devotees like yourselves, temple resident devotees, he asked, "Who is God?" And all the devotees were like, "What? Who is God? Come on, please." So, of course, a few hands went up. "Krishna!" And you know what Prabhupada's answer was? "No." Wrong answer. And everyone was like, "What? Was there a coup d'etat in Goloka Vrindavan? Did someone, you know, kick him out?" No. So then Srila Prabhupada explained, Radha Krishna is God. And he didn't even say Radha Krishna are God, plural. Radha Krishna is God, because they are one person. They're not two people. Of course, they have separated themselves eternally, not just temporarily, let's see what happens, but eternally. Yes. Whereas Lord Chaitanya, of course, Lord Chaitanya is also eternal, but he is not so openly displayed like Radha and Krishna. You go to India or you ask any Hindu, "Have you heard of Radha and Krishna?" "Sure." You ask them, "You heard of Lord Chaitanya?" "What?" In many, many cases, you know. Yeah. So yes, this is Lord Chaitanya. He is Radha and Krishna combined. And therefore, because they are combined, and because Radharani is extremely powerful, she is the supreme power. Because she's extremely powerful, Krishna cannot just keep himself as Krishna, blackish blue. He transforms under the influence of her power. And as the verse says, he manifests himself with the sentiment and complexion. The mood is the mood of Radharani. The golden color is the color of Radharani. And we're just about to finish, but one very important verse. It is the next verse in the first chapter of Adi Lila, first chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Sri Radhaya Pradaya Mahima Kidrisho Vanayaiva Swadhyo Yena Bhuta Madhuri Ma Kidrisho Va Madhya Sokyam Chasya Mad Anubhavata Kidrisham Veti Lopat Tad Bhavadya Samajani Sachi Garbha Sindho Harindu. You may have noticed the repetition of the word Kidrisha. Anyway, the translation, listen to this. This is now very personal. This is actually how Lord Krishna was thinking. Why I want to appear as Lord Chaitanya? What's in it for me? What am I looking for me? And there are three things. If you could memorize these three things, they're kind of similar, but they're also distinct from each other. If you can memorize these three, it'll help you to understand Lord Chaitanya. So, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love, the wonderful qualities in him that she alone relishes through her love, and the happiness she feels when she realizes the sweetness greatness of his love. The Supreme Lord Hari, richly endowed with her emotions, appeared from the womb of Srimati Sachi Devi as the moon appeared from the ocean. So, let's just very briefly consider these 3 points. Point one, desiring to understand the glory of Radharani's love. Krishna was trying to figure out, how much does she love me? What is the extent of it? Can you just hang on? Understand it. It is beyond me, but I must understand it. Then Krishna was thinking that what is it in me which stimulates her to love me like that? And third, what is the experience she gets? What is the happiness she feels when she sees me, realizes me, and appreciates me in these ways? I don't understand. I must understand. These are the three personal reasons for the appearance of Lord Chaitanya. Hare Krishna.
Hare
Krishna. Jai Shri Radha Radha.